us.
Always good to have you on, Doc. Now, President Trump has indicated that the United States will continue their military action against Iran, stating that the additional strikes are planned following attacks carried out a day earlier. Speaking at the White House, Trump said, "We hit them hard yesterday. We're going to hit them hard again today." Apologies. My laugh is actually sarcastic, indicating that Washington intends to maintain pressure on Tehran. But then last week, Dr. Oscar, Iran warned the United States and the Zionist regime against targeting Beirut, which is what they did. They killed so many civilians on an illegal strike, and it then got Iran to retaliate. But now the United States is hosting the FIFA World Cup as one of three countries. My goodness, a country's hosting the World Cup and it's illegally bombing another country. That's the delusional world we're living in, Dr. Oscar.
No, absolutely, MJ. I mean, it's most unfortunate that the Western world in particular, but not exclusively in this case, this is how these things get condoned tacitly. Because the truth of the matter is that, you know, when you have a country that has engaged in an illegal act of aggression against international law, against the UN charter, you still get countries that then support that country and go to the World Cup. It's a very unfortunate thing. And worse still, besides the illegal aggression against Iran, I mean, we must never forget, MJ, there is still an ongoing genocide happening in Gaza.
Mm.
And it seems people have just forgotten about this.
Absolutely, absolutely. When we chatted to a Press TV correspondent, I think it was on Monday, and spoke about the retaliatory strikes executed by Iran against United States assets in Bahrain, in Kuwait, Jordan, amongst others, and then also the Israeli attacks, illegal attacks on Iran. We then added to the conversation, while we were talking about that on Monday, Tuesday, respectively, the occupation forces in a 24-hour period literally carpet bombed an area of the Gaza Strip, whatever is left of it, and they killed no less than 7 innocent Palestinian civilians. Whilst we were talking about the Zionist entity illegally attacking Beirut and then attacking Iran illegally, etc., this is what they were doing and continuing to do.
You know, the unfortunate thing, MJ, is that the war criminal Netanyahu, who, like Trump's approval ratings, is seriously down. There is demands on the streets of Tel Aviv for elections so that they can boot out this fascist, racist, right-wing government under the leadership of the war criminal. But both Netanyahu and Trump, with such low approval ratings, with their reputations hanging in the balance because of the strategic defeat that they've suffered in this war with Iran, they unfortunately have no option but to double down. They somehow still want to cling and believe that the Iranian government can fall, that the economy is so weak, that the people are so frustrated, that they have depleted the military capacity of Iran in terms of their navy, their air force, and their missile stockpile. And any moment now, Iran is going to fall, which then will mean that their victory and their fortunes will change. Unfortunately, MJ, you know, this has been the wish and the hope of the Europeans and the Americans in the Russia-Ukraine war as well.
Mm.
Every moment, around every corner, you are told, any minute now, Putin is going to fall, the government is going to fall, the economy is going to collapse. And all of us who study these things, who follow it, who look at the data, can see that it is completely wishful thinking and lies.
Mm. So if we look at 4 years ago. Dr. Oscar, I'm very happy that you actually brought Russia into the conversation because it has everything to do with where we are right now. In 2022, FIFA banned Russia from the World Cup. In fact, my sound engineer actually reminded me about that off air. There was no appeal, no negotiations. And this was mainstream Western media phrasing it as Russia, and I put this in air quotes, invading Ukraine. We all know how that has gone over the last couple of years. And then the immediate punishment that was effected supposedly to Russia was to ban them from international football and subsequently from all international events. With the Western world, the global north, they started applauding. But rules are rules. Aggression has consequences. Many argue we should separate sport from human rights. But with the blatant disregard and trampling of international law in totality, I'm sure, Dr. Oscar, there is no way that we can even allow for such a delusional argument. Because now, 4 years later, it's 2026. The United States, one of three nations, hosting the FIFA World Cup. But that same nation is funding and arming military operations in occupied Palestine, in Lebanon. We know what they did in Yemen also just over a year ago when Trump just took office. But they are being applauded by FIFA as being one of the model nations currently being one of the three hosts. That's the paradigm that we are in.
No, the less said about the utterances and remarks of the FIFA body, the better, because you're absolutely right. Delusional is the word. But what this has brought to the fore, MJ, is that I think the world, for the first time in a very real and stark way, has now been exposed to the double standards that have been existing for decades. I remember when I was doing my PhD in international relations at Cambridge University, I raised this issue of double standards, of dualism that exists within our international system. And I was told that I must stop being polemical, that it's a polemical argument. But what we have now seen is this genocide of the Palestinian people in Gaza and the West Bank, and now increasingly also in South Lebanon, has put to right on the agenda this issue of double standards. Because you are right, they did it so quickly with Russia. But Israel is still participating in international football events, still participating in Eurovision and so forth. And yet they are actively engaged in a genocide. You know, I really think, I know we were supposed to talk about Iran today, but I do want to say that Netanyahu, the war criminal, has succeeded in making us take attention away from the atrocities and the blatant genocide, mass murder of women and children in Gaza and the West Bank by putting our attention on Iran, another illegal war. So, you know, I think that at some point, what this tells us as the Global South is that we need to establish our own structures, our own institutions. We cannot rely. I mean, we've seen how toothless the United Nations are. Absolutely toothless. It cannot do anything when the big funders are the United States, Germany, and Japan, who then dictates what it can and cannot do in terms of peacekeeping and the likes. The Security Council, because of the veto of the five permanent members, has made a mockery of international law. So, you know, I think that the route to go, if you have to choose between America and BRICS today, I think we all know what the sensible answer is going to be.
Certainly the cost of life and lives of some across the planet, we cannot even say cheap. It means absolutely nothing. Now, Dr. Oscar, what do you think was behind the so-called game plan? Again, I put the game plan in air quotes. There was a lull for about 2 months. All of a sudden, the occupation forces are attacking Iran once again. The United States also now jumping on the bandwagon from a proverbial perspective. Was an issue of perhaps they needed to replenish stockpiles that were very low, and now they feel equal to the task. But again, Iran has proven to be equal to the task. They've warned the United States that all their assets in the Gulf region will be legitimate targets. They've targeted, as part of retaliation, Bahrain, Kuwait, Jordan, etc. Again, the question that we ask, why are these Gulf states still allowing? Again, perhaps toothless entities themselves, but they are continuing to allow the United States to use their so-called sovereignty, and they get absolutely no protection whatsoever.
Yeah, no, look, let's start with the replenishing point. Mm. Unfortunately for Trump and for Israel, replenishing is unfortunately not going to take months.
Mm.
You know, just to build one Patriot system missiles, they need 6 to 12 months. Mm. That is industry standard. So there is no replenishing that's going to happen in the short term. I know Trump has instructed the arms manufacturers in the United States to work overtime and double time. But even with that, you see the issue here, MJ, is that Russia, from 2014, when the coup was initiated in Kiev, Russia already prepared because they could see that there was going to be a war coming. And they increased their stockpiles, they overproduced, they have huge numbers of missiles and so on and so forth, including new technology. With Iran, it was exactly the same thing. From the time that Iraq was invaded in early 2000s and Saddam Hussein was overthrown, the Iranian regime or Iranian government decided then already to prepare. And they prepared for more than 20 years in terms of missile stockpiles, a strategy, how they are going to do this, the closing of the strait, et cetera, and how they will inflict pain on the state of Israel. So unfortunately for Israel and America, they thought that it was going to be quick and easy. It's the same. They don't learn from history. This is the same problem that America had in Vietnam. They won the battle, but they lost the war because they thought it was going to just be a short war, bomb the country to the Stone Age, and then everyone is going to give up and surrender. That did not happen, and it will not happen in Iran either. Iran see this as an existential threat, and therefore they know all they have to do. This is like chess, MJ. Mm. All the Iranians have to do is survive till December, because come November and the midterm elections, Trump is out. Impeachment, possible arrests, etc., because the Democrats will take control of the House in Congress and the Senate.
Mm. Just, Dr. Oscar, I've been meaning to actually just engage with you as we wrap from this perspective. I've been watching Albania now for a good couple of days. Tens of thousands of Albanians continue to take to the streets in protest. There's one single figure here that's a common denominator, because he was literally the hoodwink along with Steve Witkoff. They kind of led the Iranians around the bush, getting them to the negotiations table, whereas decisions were made already to illegally attack and bomb Iran. Jared Kushner, he's now eyed this island that geographically belongs to Albania for a luxury resort. But there could be more to this. We know that the leadership of Albania literally in the pockets of Tel Aviv, which is not good news. But the fact that the Trump administration argues they want the Straits of Hormuz to be open. It was always open before they illegally bombed it. But now access to this island in Albania, we close to the Adriatic Sea and Mediterranean Sea. Does it mean ownership control over what could possibly be also an extremely important choke point, similar to the Straits of Hormuz, and the fact that this was a military base before? What are the coincidences? I'm sure cannot be coincidence.
Yeah, no, look, there's a lot of geopolitical speculation that's swirling around this particular issue. I think what's important here, MJ, is for ordinary Albanians, they're not even thinking about it in those terms of, you know, in terms of geostrategically, geopolitically. They are basically just saying that they are anti the fact that their government officials are in cahoots with the Kirchner types, with corrupt practices and corrupt deals. And they are not okay with it because, and you have to understand, it also comes from the point of these are the same people who just thought they could take Greenland. I mean, where do you draw the line? And I think this is where the Albanian people need to be commended. They are standing up for something and they are saying, not in our names, it's not going to happen. But I agree with you. There's something more sinister behind the purchasing of this island.
I hope to have a follow-up conversation with you, Dr. Oscar, as that story develops. I'm certainly keeping a keen eye on it. Dr. Oscar van Heerden, international relations analyst and expert, as always, Doc. Thanks so much for your time.
Always the pleasure.